The English language, like most languages, uses words that can describe a range of emotions when we find ourselves in certain situations. For example, consider the difference in some of these words. We find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation, we can use words like unsettling, uneasy, uncomfortable, it bothered me. Not too bad of a situation, just ones where we feel just a little awkward or a little off in. But then we can go all the way to the other range where we use words like, I feared for my life, terrified, scared to death, hopeless, overwhelmed. Those words describe a situation none of us want to find ourselves in because literally we are at our wit's end. We have no resources that we can use to deal with the situation. And that's the situation that the disciples find themselves in John chapter 6, verse 20. They're terrified. They're fearful for their very lives. And they thought they were going to die. I want us to back up a few steps, a few moments, to see how they came to be in this overwhelming situation. Earlier in that chapter, Jesus had multiplied the bread and the fishes, and he had fed 5,000 people. And when the crowd saw this in John 6:14, they exclaimed, "This is a prophet who has come into the world." And they wanted to make Jesus Messiah by force. After all, why not have a Messiah that can give you free food for life? That's someone a lot of people would follow. The disciples were excited by the crowd's reaction, I imagine. The scripture doesn't quite say that, but I mean, these men had followed Jesus because they thought he was going to make a difference, and they were waiting for him to declare himself as Messiah. And when he did, they would ride his wings to his positions of power. And so my guess is that they're pretty astonished. When in the face of all this public acclaim and all this favor that people were giving on Jesus, Jesus said, "We have to leave now." In fact, he compelled his disciples to leave. In Matthew 14, 22, another instance of the same incident, we find that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. It can be translated compelled or forced. Jesus literally said, "You must get into that boat and you must row across the lake to Capernaum. You have no choice. Now, do it." Well, the disciples did it. Jesus, the scriptures tell us, went into the mountainside to pray because I think the pressure of resisting the crowd's temptation was so great that Jesus had to really pray to resist that temptation as never before. The disciples were going across the lake that Jesus had told them, and they hadn't gone very far when just an unusually large storm hit that lake. The strong wind began to blow, and as the storm began to increase, the waves began to batter that boat, one wave after another. And even for these experienced fishermen, this was a storm like none other they had found themselves in. The Bible records it for the next 9 hours, in the midst of darkness, all night long, the disciples rowed against these waves. As the storm increased, the height of the waves also increased. These waves would be pounding their boat. They would be literally going up and then slamming back down into the water. Water would be pouring into their boat. Not only would they be rowing, but they're wondering, when was this boat going to sink? They didn't have life jackets back then. They didn't have vests. They didn't have safety, anything. And they knew that if their boat went in the water, they were dead. 9 hours. They rowed. They bailed water nonstop. Must have been one of the worst nights of their lives. Endless, it must have seemed. And then finally, when they thought they could do no more, they knew they were dead because they began to hallucinate or so they thought. Because they saw someone coming across, walking on those waves, walking on the storm, and in their knowledge, that could only be a demon or a spirit or a ghost. And they knew they were dead. That was the mindset, their mindset, and their exhausted state of mind. Is it any wonder that all three Gospels that record this account, all three of the Gospels say that the disciples were frightened? I think that's an understatement. I think they were terrified. Because if we were in their shoes, we'd have been just as scared. The reality of life is that we will all have these stormy times that hit us. It may not be a storm-tossed sea that we find ourselves in, but often our lives are tossed into turmoil by something unexpected that enters our lives. It might be the death of a friend or a loved one that was fine the day before, and a sudden heart attack or accident or road incident, and now we get a phone call that they're dead. Maybe we have a loved one that's in the military, and all of a sudden, we get the word that they're being deployed into a combat situation that is very intense. Our spouse walks up to us and says, "By the way, I've had it, I'm done, I'm gone." Or a boss walks up to us and says, "Today's your last paycheck, clear out your desk, be gone in an hour." Our lives can be so tossed and so stormy, set, so to speak, in just a few moments. We can't change those realities, but we can change the way we react to those storms through this story by the things we learn about Jesus. Before I get to what we learn about Jesus, I want to just consider three quick reasons why we may sometimes experience these storms. Because oftentimes, as a pastor, I've heard the phrase, you know, that if your faith is strong enough, you won't go through these tough times in life. And I look at people and I say, "What Bible are you reading?" Because when we look at Scripture, we see that all of us are going to go through these times, regardless of our faith. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. But three quick reasons why sometimes storms enter into a Christian's life. Sometimes these stormy times enter our lives because we are running away from what we know to be God's will. Psalm 119 has some great words in verses 67, 71, and 75. Listen to them. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word." Verse 71, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." Verse 75, "I know, Lord, that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me." You see the pattern in those three verses? That sometimes as believers, we can know what we're supposed to do. We can know how we are supposed to live. And we just don't do that. We just don't live that. We drift away from God. And sometimes God lets the stormy times come into our life to grab our attention and remind us that we need to rely on Him. A second reason the stormy times can enter our lives is simply because we as Christians live in a non-Christian world. If you've ever doubted that the world around us is non-Christian, just remind yourselves of the headlines of this last week in the political circles. Regardless of what side you're on, there was very little Christian in anything that happened in Washington in the last month or two. And yet, we learned this a long time ago. Jesus said this to us in John 15. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. I've chosen you out of the world, which is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No Christian is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Sometimes storms are going to hit our lives simply because we are believers standing up for Jesus Christ. The greater the darkness our world becomes, the greater the light, the greater the world's going to try to extinguish that light. That's a promise. And when they try to extinguish the light, those are stormy times. The third reason that we may sometimes experience storms in our life is one you may find unusual. Sometimes we experience storms in life because we are obeying Jesus. You think, what? Jesus is supposed to make life easier for us, isn't he? He makes it better, but not necessarily easier. And if we ever see an example of this, it's the very disciples. What did Jesus just told them to do? Go out in the boat. So, were they obeying Jesus? Yes. It's not like they said, sorry, Jesus, we're going to take the road around. We looked at Weather Channel on our cell phone, and there's a big storm coming. They didn't know that. They obeyed Jesus, and now they're in the one of the worst storms of their life. Friends, there are going to be times when just because we obey Jesus, life gets hard. And that's probably more than ever when we need to step out and rely and see him. Well, no matter why the storms came, the storms were there. So how are we going to get through those stormy times? By recognizing what the disciples needed to learn. Because remember, they did not know yet who Jesus was, like we know who Jesus is. They did not have the advantage of having a scripture and a Bible to read. All they knew was this man they'd been following for a short time who had not fully revealed himself. And so they needed to learn who Jesus truly was, because they were going to represent him before the world in a few years. I want you to us to learn three things that the disciples had to learn. They had to learn, number one, that the Lord sees and cares for us in our times of trial. The Lord sees and cares for us in our times of trial or our stormy times. About the storm, consider what Mark chapter 6, verse 47 and 48 says. And he, referring to Jesus, was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars. I don't know if Jesus saw the disciples on the lake because the lightning would flash through the sky and he could see the boat being tossed every time that flash of lightning came down. I don't know if because he was the Son of God and he could just see them no matter what. But we know that he saw them. And the scripture records, seeing them straining at the oars, he came to them. Jesus knows the storms we are going through. And we have his word that when we are in those storms, he will come to us in a special way and remind us that he is right there with us. The writer of Psalm 139 stated it beautifully. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, behold, you are there. If I rise on the wind of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. Simply put, whatever troublesome situation we find ourselves in, Jesus is right there with us. He sees what's going on. He cares enough to come to our side. And that's what Jesus meant when he promised us, I am with you even to the end of the age. There is never a time in our life when we are alone. That's the beauty of this scripture. We may feel alone. We may be friends who have dropped us. But if we refer back to faith, we are never alone with Jesus. Now, while Jesus cares for us, while He sees us, sometimes His timing of delivering us from the storm is not what we would like to experience. We get into the storm and we say, "Lord, save me now! Lord, I said, save me now!" And there's no Jesus. And the storm continues. And what's our first reaction? Why did God leave me? Where are you, God? That's the second lesson that we need to learn, that sometimes Jesus delays His arrival. After the second or third hour of the storm, my guess is the disciples were going, "Jesus, we need you. Where are you?" No Jesus. After the fifth or sixth hour of the storm, and their muscles are fatigued, and those waves are getting higher, and the storm is lashing that wind in their face, the water into their face, and they don't know if they're going to survive, they're crying out for Jesus. And by the ninth hour, when they're exhausted, and the storm is still intensifying in its fury, they knew Jesus had abandoned them. And yet this whole time, Jesus was watching them. But He didn't come to them until the ninth hour. And why is that? I think there's a tremendous application that you and I, especially in this world we live in, have to learn. With all the technology that we have become so self-sufficient that we think we can do anything we want. As long as we rely on our own independence, as long as we have our own resources and our own strength to depend on, I don't know that we truly understand what it means to have faith in God. In the Old Testament, Job said it this way: "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. And when did Job say those words? He said those words after he had lost his children, after he had lost everything he had worked so hard to attain in his life, after he had lost his health, after he had lost his friends, and he was reduced to sitting in a pile of debris, grabbing a piece of pottery and scraping the sores on his skin because it hurt so bad. That is when Job said, "Now my eyes see." Wow. You see, it is not until often that we have exhausted our resources, until we can do no more, it is then that we finally realize that it is not us who are in control of our life. And when we finally get to that point where we just simply have to let it loose and let God, that's when God says, "That's what I've been waiting for." That's when He steps in and we realize who He is, perhaps as never before in our life. That's when Jesus came to the disciples. At that point where they realized that there is nothing left. And when Jesus walked across those waves in the darkest hour of their lives, they knew as never before Jesus was. When we are in that darkest hour of our life and we have given up everything, it is then that Jesus comes. He may not come walking across the waves as He did the disciples, but He may come to us in the form of an encouraging note or a word from a friend. He may come to us in a check that arrives in the mail that we would never have guessed. He may come to us in an answered prayer that is so unbelievable and so timely that we know it is from Him. You see, sometimes Jesus delays his arrival. But that does not mean he ever delays his life. He is always with us. He always loves us. But we cannot put him in a corner and say, this is how you must behave. He is God. We are not. The third thing that we learn is that Jesus will deliver us from the storm. In all three of the gospel accounts that write about this storm, it's when the disciples are ready to give in, when they are ready to die, when they are most afraid. It is at that point that Jesus not only walks across the waves, but he answers the disciples' fear with his words, "It is I. Be not afraid." And really, the translation is, "I am here. Be not afraid." When those disciples heard the word, "I am," they would have flashed back to a teaching that related back to the days of Moses. When Moses was being sent to deliver the Israelites from slavery, and he was going to be asked to describe God, God simply said, "I am that I am." And ever since then, the Jews knew and used those words to refer to God Almighty. And so when Jesus says, "I am here," in the Jewish language of that day, the disciples learned for the first time that Jesus was God Himself. He was the Messiah. Remember, Jesus had revealed himself as the Messiah to the woman at the well, as we learned last week. The disciples still didn't know that. He revealed himself to the woman who was in need of love and acceptance and friendship. But now he reveals himself to be the disciple, to be the Messiah, to the disciples who need to know more than ever that Jesus is the one who is all things. I want you to think of what Jesus was truly saying in those words and what he says to you. That which scares the living daylights out of you. That which is absolutely impossible for men to think of. The very things that you struggle with, the very things that tear your life apart, the very things that scare you and worry you and cause you to spend countless hours awake. I'm in control of those things. I am God. And that's why we do not have to be afraid when those stormy times enter our lives. Not because we're so smart. Not because we're so wealthy or so influential, but because Jesus is with us and because He cares for us. He has it all under control. And when the disciples realized that it was Jesus who was walking on the water and not a ghost, that it was Jesus who was coming to them, they willingly received him into their boat. And when they did, they found themselves immediately upon land. The timing was amazing. As soon as they let Jesus into their boat, things calmed down. See the application for you and I today. When we're overwhelmed, when we're scared, when we're trying to do everything on our own and we can't do anymore, when we then let Jesus into our boat, into our life, into our situation, into our heart, in whatever you want to say, it's then that we find ourselves calm and at peace because we know Jesus. I wish that as a pastor, I could tell you, when you accept Jesus, you're going to escape all the storms of life. All's going to be hunky-dory. But what I can tell you is that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you live with Him and in Him, you have an answer. You have an anchor. You have a resource that no one else in this world has that can get you through those storms. Because those storms will hit. That's why these accounts are written in the gospel messages. They teach us who we turn to when life gets beyond our control. Where do we go? Who do we go to? The answer is Jesus. Jesus not only wants to be there for us in the storm, but he wants to be there for us every step of the way. And sometimes we don't want to accept him until we're at our wit's end. I think Jesus is telling us, that's okay. If you're at your wit's end and that's when you cry out to me, that's when I'll be there. But I think he's also saying, let's not let it get so bad. Turn to me earlier. Come back to me quicker than before. Remember, I'm still there. Still walking beside you. The scripture I learned many years ago in Isaiah, it's one I've told you about before. It's the first one I was ever encouraged to memorize as a Christian. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will lift you up with my victorious right hand. That's a promise that is true today for you and I, as it was for the Jewish people over 3,000 years ago. When those storms hit you, Jesus is there. Father, I thank you that you are the one who loves, accepts, and understands, as you showed to the woman at the well in John 4 last week. I thank you that when life is at its worst and we have nowhere to turn to and we have literally at our wit's end, that's especially when you are there for. Thank you for showing yourself to be who you are in this situation so that we can depend upon you, not only for your love, but for your presence in our life. Help us turn to you, not only in the times of storms, but in the good times. Thank you for being who you are, our Lord, our Savior, the one who is with us all. In your son's name. One of the reasons I follow Jesus is because of who he is. And I just pray that as you learn more about him, if you're not already following him, that's who he is. Follows. The series, we're going to learn all about who Jesus is. And we're going to keep asking each Sunday. If you want to know who he truly is, we can help you, we can teach you, but you have to accept him. We have an invitation. Him, Jeff's going to come forward, looks like Rachel's going to come forward as well, and let's stand, and then as they lead us in that song, if you have a decision to make for Jesus Christ or for this church, please come forward and share it with us.